Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, episode 49. We're about to get started with our interview with Jesse Schoenberg, but first, a message from Austin Jarrow, which is this episode's sponsor. Check out Austin Jarrow for anything that you need for running gear, running shoes, food, advice, clothes, whatever. They're located here in Duluth, right off of Central Entrance, up by the mall, 1025 West Central Entrance. Thanks to Austin Jarrow.
All right, and we are joined now in the podcast with Duluth's own Jesse Schoenberg. Jesse, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start out a little bit with some background. Introduce yourself to the listeners here.
Sure. I grew up in southern Minnesota, a small town called Fairmont, down by Iowa.
Yep.
Did some running there and track and cross country. Track was kind of my thing in high school. I ran pretty much every 400 in the track meets. That whole painful app. I moved to Duluth to go to UMD for biology, and just really loved it up here as soon as I got up here. And been here since, except for a 5-year stint for graduate school in Idaho. So I left for that period of time, and then I had met my wife at UMD as well, and so this was like the one place we could both agree that we wanted to live. So,
and was she from here, or did she move to Duluth from?
She was from Fergus Falls.
Okay,
so she was at UMD.
But both you guys really liked Duluth enough to want to be back.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. It was the one place that was, you know, big enough that it had stuff going on.
Yeah.
Still small enough that you could get into the woods real easily.
So I have a question for you then. With that, what you just said, like big enough, because I feel the same way. I grew up in Iowa, just across the Minnesota border, in a town about the size of Fairmont. And so to me, Duluth isn't the biggest town I've lived in, but it's still the right size for me. And I don't know if that's kind of what you guys were thinking too.
Yeah.
Big enough to offer a lot of the things that you might be looking for, but not big cities.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you can go out to a play, you can find some good music to listen to. There are some interesting bars and, you know, now breweries and all sorts of stuff.
Right. Right.
It's got all of the things that you'd want. Not maybe not everything, but boy, who can do everything anyway?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And that's another thing too. For a time I lived in Chicago for a summer with a bunch of buddies. And when the town is that big, you actually end up just kind of habituating in a small area anyway, because you can't do the entire town really. It's just too overwhelming. So you do end up kind of staying in a small space.
Yeah. So you've been running for a long time. I mean, how did you initially get into even just track and field? Was it just felt like doing it, or did you do all the sports, or?
When I was younger, football was like the thing I was going to do. So like sixth grade, or I don't know, as soon as I could get into football, I was in football.
Yeah.
And I was awful. I mean, I was just awful. But I could run fast, kind of, you know. I wasn't the fastest guy, but I could run pretty fast. So they'd send me to chase people down and, you know, and I don't know, I wasn't very good at it. And then I was a freshman year, I think, I was like, just on a kickoff, I broke my knee, some bone in my knee.
Huh. Oh, geez.
Some guy hit me and poof, I was down.
Wow.
Hyperventilating on the sideline. And And after that, and I was like, all right, I never get to play except for like stupid kickoffs, and I'm injuring myself. Yeah. I'm not very good. Let's just be done with this. So that was the transition to cross country. And that was really more just it'll get me ready for track. Cause for some reason I got into track. I don't remember why. I had some friends that were going to do it in middle school, and I thought it sounded like fun. And, you know, I like to run. I grew up on a farm, so I'd, you know, run everywhere just because, I don't know.
A to B.
Isn't that what you do?
Yeah.
And then, just liked it. Had good friends that were in it. And, you know, I was okay at it, too. You know, I wasn't the greatest by any stretch, but I could do well and, you know, keep up with most folks. And so,
did you run at UMD?
No, I didn't. Okay. My roommate actually was in track.
Okay.
At UMD.
Yeah.
He was way faster than I was.
Was it just a speed thing, or was it just like desire, or, I mean, did you feel like, dang, I wish I was out there on the track with him?
Not much. No, I mean, there was enough other things going on at UMD that I didn't miss it.
Yeah.
That I didn't miss it. And I just knew I wasn't that fast. You know, I worked really hard, especially my senior year doing the 400s. And, you know, I could get down to like I think I got a 53.8 split once, and mm-hmm. I thought that was pretty awesome, but mm-hmm. that's not going to get you anywhere in college.
Yeah, right, yeah.
You know, it was good in Fairmont, but
yeah,
it just wasn't enough to do anything with. And yeah, like I said, there's other stuff at UMD. Got in with the Woota Wooch Outdoor Club at UMD that does like camping and hiking and stuff like that. Huh. And so, yeah, I had lots going on.
Do they still have a club like that? They probably do. Well, there's the RSOP thing.
Maybe. Last I heard, yeah, Woota Wooch is just like a student club.
Okay.
Hmm. Last I heard it was there a few years ago, although I haven't paid attention.
Yeah. That's cool.
It was the club for...
Never heard of that.
Yeah, there's like, you know, like there's like a climbing club. There's like the kayak and canoe club. And this is a club for the kids, my kids, college kids, I guess.
Yeah.
They wanted to do all the outdoor stuff, but not like all those more structured things. They just wanted to go run around and goof off outside for the most part.
Nice. Was it like a hike-in camping or was it car camping kind of thing?
Oh, anything. Yes. Anything and everything and whatever.
Outdoors.
Yeah. Just yeah. Okay. Woota Wooch apparently is Ethiopian for to the outdoors.
Okay.
That's what I've been told. I've never actually looked that up.
Huh.
But anything and everything outdoors. Just goofy things outside.
Cool.
And nothing was really off limits. It was just kind of a lot of fun.
Nice.
So were you still running or doing other endurance type things in college or?
Not much. No, I really wasn't. I mean, I'd do a thing here and there. You know, I had a bike, so I'd bike around, but it was mostly just recreation. You know, I think, some buddies and I, we did like a triathlon at UMD.
Yeah.
There was this fun thing we did called a ride and tie where it's like a 2-person team with a bike and a run with one bike.
Oh.
So the bike takes off and then you drop the bike and then that person takes off running. And then when your teammate catches up to the bike, they hop on the bike and bike past the runner to, you know, kind of that's the strategy. How far do you go before you drop it?
Cool.
Okay. And then the ending is when the last person crosses the finish line.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, yeah, we did one of those and it was super fun. It was around in Hartley. And so I did a few just little things like that.
Yeah.
And I think another time we were part of a triathlon team at UMD.
Okay.
But nothing real serious and nothing real regular
at
that point.
Ryan Ty, you need to find a partner the same height as you, huh?
That would be good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Or adjustable.
Right. Quick adjustable seat.
Right. That's a cool idea. I like that.
That is kind of cool.
Never heard of that before.
It was really fun. Yeah, it's a nice bit of strategy built into it, too.
Absolutely. Right. Right.
Yeah, how to do it. And we crossed the finish line within like a second of each other.
Oh, perfect.
So it was like perfect.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So now you do a fair amount of racing and running and different endurance pursuits, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did that transition go, I guess, from not so much doing it in college to now in your, you know, adult life?
Yeah.
Picking it back up.
Yep. That was, yeah. I'd point to a couple things. When I was out in Idaho, there was a colleague of mine in grad school who had done some 100-mile marathon races with like a 4-person team kind of a thing in Alaska. And he was talking about that. And I never heard of anything like that.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty crazy. And I somehow got into this, the story of this forest ranger out in the West, Bob Marshall, who would apparently hike in a day 50 miles.
Wow.
And it just blew our mind. We're like, that's really cool. My God, you could 50 miles. That's like 3 or 4 days of backpacking. You could do that all in one day. So this guy and I and some other folks, we'd try to do some things like that. And we were near the Tetons.
Yeah.
That was just a couple hours away, which was fantastic. And so we'd go there and we'd do like long day hikes, just a little pack and move fast. And, you know, we never quite got to 50 miles. I think the longest was like 45, I think. You know, that ended well past dark with like strange noises in the woods around us wondering what we're getting into.
Delirious a little bit. Tired.
Oh, we were beat. Yeah. But, you know, and that we weren't running, though. I mean, we were just hiking, speed hiking, and, you know, there's jogging a little bit, you know, because we were like, we're late, we're getting late.
Right.
But So it really wasn't running then. And then I moved back to Duluth, and actually it was the Banging in the Brush race that I think was my first real trail race.
Cool.
And trail run. Yeah. And kind of drug my brother to it, as I remember. Hopefully he remembers it the same. and we did that race and had a great time. We hadn't trained. We were like, you know, sore as heck for two weeks after.
Oh, yeah.
But it was super fun. And we were just hooked. And my brother actually really took off and started doing a lot of races. So he got into it faster and deeper than I did. I mean, he got into the Kernow. He actually did Voyagers. He did some things well before I did. And I was kind of slower on the uptake, I guess, doing smaller things.
Yeah.
But eventually he kind of drugged me in, you know, and we got into some things. We did the Grand Traverse 1 year, totally unprepared for that. I think that was probably our first really long race. I think we did the 20. I think it was the 20 mile. Totally unprepared, big backpacks and just trying to run, and it was just silly, but it was a lot of fun. You know, we really enjoyed it. You know, and seeing all this new trail, we hadn't been on any of that trail before at the time, so that was exciting to see all this stuff across Duluth.
What years are these?
Boy, that first Banging in the Brush, I should have looked up. It was probably around 2008, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe 2010.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area. Yeah.
10 to 15 years-ish ago.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Cool.
Yep.
Okay.
Something like that. Well, yeah, it must have been 2008 or earlier. My first Kernow that I did was the year after the flood. So that would have been 2013.
Yep.
2013. Yeah. It was a rerouted longer course. So I think technically that was my first ultra because it was like 27 miles that year.
Right.
Yeah. That counts.
It counts.
I'm counting it.
That's fun. So it's kind of just like coordinating with your brother, just what race is you doing? What race should I do? Just getting into
it. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yeah, like I said, he got into it a lot more heavy and kind of drugged me along and got me into doing some of the longer things. I was nervous about him up front and I got into him and realized, all right, I can do this. And so him and I did a lot of races together and have for quite a while.
And did you kind of get into your own, I guess, preference of, you know, I like this type of a race or this distance or what were you drawn to?
Boy, you know, I mean, boy, that's a good question. I mean, my 50K is probably my favorite distance, I think. Yeah. And I, you know, and it actually, I look at, you know, like Ultra Sign Up, it has that little graph that shows how well you do at different races. And,
yeah.
You know, I kind of look at that, and the shorter the race, the better I do. But
because you're a 400 meter guy,
well, I guess. But you know, but I really like the longer ones. But the longer the race, the worse I do. Sure. So it's like, well, should I do shorter races because I'm better? But I like the longer ones. So you know, 50K is kind of a good middle point in that it's nice and long, and still gets a good day out on the trails, and you know, I feel like I'm doing well. You know,
right.
Yeah.
Cool.
What are some of the favorite races that you've done?
You know, Wild Duluth has probably been my favorite. Yeah. I've done that, I think, 6 years in a row now.
Nice.
And the 50K.
The 50K.
Yeah.
Yep. Last couple, I've done the Wild Man thing, which has been pretty fun on the second day.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the nervousness of how am I going to feel and getting out there and like, I feel better than I think I should.
Right.
This is great. So that's been kind of fun.
You're right.
Yeah, and my brother and I did one big race out in Montana a number of years ago. The Elkhorn, it was a 50-mile race. I've
heard of that,
outside of Helena. And, I mean, it was a fantastic experience. That was the most that we'd ever trained. We really, really, really tried
to
tune up on that one. And it wiped us out. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It just killed us.
At elevation?
Okay. I think it got up to 9,000 or maybe 95, something like that top.
Yeah.
But it was all high, all way higher than here.
Right.
I had gone out a couple of weeks earlier to, you know, try to get acclimated and, you know, did some runs at height. And boy, if it helped, I couldn't tell.
Your experience, I assume, in Idaho knew you to be prepared, you knew to be prepared for those mountains, I'm assuming.
Well, to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I hadn't raced out there at altitude before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd climbed. I'd done some mountaineering and mountain climbing while I was out there too. So I certainly knew altitude, knew how you feel, and and all that sort of thing. But I hadn't raced out there like that. So that was that was new.
Yeah.
And you know, so I was I was good at hiking up stuff, which was good because there was a lot of hiking.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, just steep, steep, long, long hills, you know, the things that we just don't get out here, you know, 2-3 miles of rock strewn gully downhill.
Up, it's like, oh my
The whole time.
Or down
the whole time. Yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah.
and this race had this interesting thing where, well, you know, partway through you could decide to turn and just turn your race into a 50K, which is great. I mean, really nice for the folks running. But we hit that point and we kept going on the 50 mile and we thought we were like, you know, firmly in the middle of the pack at that point. You know, you could kind of see how folks had spread out. And we're like, oh, all right, we're doing all right. We're kind of in the middle. This is great. Uh-huh. And we get around and past a couple more aid stations and we're on our way back, you know, maybe at mile, I don't know, at that point, probably mile 30. And we find out we're in last place. Almost everybody behind us, people had passed us, almost everybody behind us had turned off. We had no idea.
The middle of the pack for the whole field, but yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah. So they were like, oh my God, we got to speed up, man.
Did you pass anyone?
One person.
One.
Wow. We did.
Better than last,
I guess. Yep. And they almost passed us again. We could see them behind us coming down the last bit. Oh, yeah. But we made it. It was a great experience.
Excellent.
But, holy smokes.
Yeah.
It killed us.
And you have a shirt on from the Burrito Union Triathlon. So, and I know you've done some triathlons as well, right?
Yeah, I did. I guess that's kind of part of my story into getting into racing as well. We started doing a couple. There was this little one in my hometown of Fairmont. Actually, they used to have it when I was a kid. I never did it then, but they kicked it back off again in the early 2000s, maybe. And
fun.
So we're like, oh, it's the hometown thing. And so my brother and I went down and did that a few times. And, you know, we're all right. Got into doing a few more. Did some up here. And the Burrito Union really kind of stuck out for us. The longer one, you know, a little bit more out in the woods with the trail run.
You're right.
So it was fun. Him and I were, almost all the times I did it, him and I were a two-person team. Doing
kind of add that teamwork aspect, aspect back into it too.
That's probably one of our like crowning achievements. One year we won the two-person team 10-hour event.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah,
that's a pretty intense event though. I mean, 10 hours and you're going the whole time.
It was because you have to do a full triathlon each person for the two-person team. I mean, a sprint triathlon, you know. It's not like a huge one, but
still.
Yeah,
I mean, how many did you do that day then each, you know, like five each or something?
Four or five. Yeah, I know right at the end it was like barely making cutoffs to try to get the last one in.
Oh, right. So you have to start before the cutoff, but then you can kind of finish.
Yeah.
But
you got to get to the next thing before the next cutoff, right?
Oh,
that end time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I came in, I think I had like 25 seconds to go before the cutoff to leave on the run, and then I ended up passing the other guy on the run, and it was super close. But
that's an interesting fun race event. Format
it was
kind of a throwback to the what do you call it, the with the bike and the run,
the ride and tie.
ride and tie. We got to bring back the ride and tie.
Yeah, I like that.
That would be fun. Yep, that would be fun. We've got the trails for it now too.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a trail type event.
It was. Yeah. Although as I think about it, you probably want something wide enough that you can pass on the bike pretty easily, and you can bike past runners and all that.
Yeah, so. If you could throw in a handful of gravel roads here and there, maybe, or something along those lines, or some snowmobile trails or something.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Or if there's ski trails you can bike on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've done a lot of kind of zany, weird race format type events.
Yeah, I guess something about it just sounded kind of fun and something new, and we've been kind of keen to try interesting and new things.
Yeah,
I guess.
And of all the different types, kind of that trail 50K is your sweet spot, you think?
I would say, yeah. I mean, yeah, I enjoy it. It's right distance. I mean, there's other races that I really like. I mean, the Kurnow is a ball. I really enjoy that race. And yeah, looking forward to doing it this year. I haven't been able to the last couple of years.
So. Right.
But yeah, the 50K is a nice distance. And I like the technical trails too, I guess. That's the other piece.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's growing up in the country and running across plowed fields or something.
Yeah.
But I like the rocks and the roots and yeah, all of that beyond the woods.
And have you done many, I guess, outside of the area races? I know you mentioned the one, 50 miler, but is that something that you try to incorporate as adventure travel events?
I haven't yet. Yeah, we've looked at some other things and thought about it, but most stuff has been around here.
Yeah.
Most stuff has been around here. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I did like a half marathon over in the UP a few years ago. Some of the Superior races up by Lutzen.
Yeah.
But yeah, mostly around here. We have really nice trails and I like them.
That's kind of what I think. I mean, I just love doing local races so much. I mean, they're just right here. It's so nice to sleep in your own bed and
from a
cost perspective too, and time perspective, like just wake up, doesn't ruin the day before or the day after, one day and you can do it all. Yeah. So,
And to get anywhere with trails this nice is a long ways away.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, that's kind of the thing. You head west, it's like, oh my God, you got to go hours before you get to trails like we have here.
Right. Yeah.
And south, I mean, I don't even know how far south you have to go. I mean, I know there's trails.
Right.
Yeah, especially the amount of trails that we have. Every town has maybe one or two kind of thing, but we have all over town, we have so many options to choose from.
Oh, I know. I run every day of the week on different trails.
Yep.
Yeah,
it's great.
And the number of events, too, for that matter, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Especially now that the NMTC races have started.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fun. So what type of events do you want to do in the future? I mean, do you have any bucket list races or goals for coming up or way out? Or
I want to try to get 100 mile in before, I don't know, everything falls apart. and who knows when that's going to happen or if I'll make it.
Yeah.
But I'd like to try to get one 100 mile in at least. Mm-hmm. You know, based on how things have gone in the past, I don't expect I'll be very good at it. But, that's okay. I'm not in any of these really to win it. So.
Sure. Right.
But I do want to do that. And I want to find a nice one, something on some good trails. I've been looking at the ones out in the Black Hills. It might be a good option for something like that. My daughter's living in Bozeman right now for the next few years. So, I've been looking at things out there.
Yeah.
Boy, everything looks, it has a lot of elevation in those races.
Yeah.
I'd like to find races that are pretty and, runnable.
Yeah.
Right.
Not just panting up a giant hill for several hours at a time.
Right.
But,
each
their own.
Yep.
And what's kind of your training strategy? What's worked well for you in different training cycles? Or I know you mentioned kind of earlier on in your career, Jesse, you just kind of hop into it and maybe suffer for weeks after. But what have you found to work in your, years of experience?
I don't know that I have a good answer for that, because I don't think I train very well, honestly.
Yeah.
I did do a half Ironman once, and I actually followed a training plan for that pretty rigorously to try to get ready, because I was, pretty scared of that.
Right, right.
So that was the only time where I really had a really tight training plan. For that 50 mile, it was a little, it was tighter, but it was still more just like run all that you can pretty much, as often as you can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got three kids, they're now mostly grown and, only the one left in the house, but he's, still out of high school. So,
Right.
I've lost a lot of those responsibilities that I had,
Okay.
And so I do have a little bit more time right now to try to put into this. I'm hoping that changes. And as I get older, I realize that I need to do a better job of, actually trying to have something a little bit more structured rather than just jump in and run.
Yeah.
you know, and that's pretty much been my plan before. Run when you can, you know, try to do some, you know, long things on the weekends, you know, try to do some recovery runs after that. You know, I've, there's little, you know, theories that I've picked up from, you know, heck, maybe you, Tony, and others, you know, I've heard in different places that I keep in mind and I think about, but yeah, I don't have a great, I don't have a great training.
Yeah. Well, I think for the ultras, being undertrained is going to be better generally than overtrained anyway. So
I don't think I've ever been overtrained. So I definitely have that going for me.
Do you try and run all year round then and just keep a general base of fitness? Or
I do. Yeah. I mean, I usually take around like November is like a break for me. Great time because the trails kind of go to crap and, you know, get through Wild Duluth and then like, okay, I'm going to take a break here.
Yeah.
But yeah, once the trails freeze up again, I do like running in the winter, you know, the frozen trails and the, I just think it's a lot of fun. It's nice. I mean, heck, the trails are smoother.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think it's safer. You know, if you fall, you just like poof, right. Snow. You're not going to hit a rock.
Yeah.
Less to trip on. Right. So, anyways, I like winter running, and I think it's pretty fun. So I've done a number of the winter trail races that that are in this.
Do
area.
You ski at all or bike?
You know, I used to cross country ski more, and I prefer running.
Yeah.
It feels like I get a better workout. You know, if I was better at skiing, I probably would get a better workout from it. I'm just not that good. I've done it more for getting places, you know, winter camping and that sort of thing is how I use skiing.
Okay.
So yeah. And I do a little bit of mountain biking.
Yeah.
I love it. Enjoy it. But, trail running is, kind of my thing.
Nice.
What I like about winter trail running versus skiing and why I think trail running wins out is because skiing, you practically have to walk with your skis or drive to the trailhead, right? Whereas I think that's so nice to be able to just get out of my doorstep, run right to the trail and just run on the trail
and just keep
run
going.
Right home.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, tack on a couple miles or something, but One time I ran with my skis. Like, it's dumb. What am I doing? You know? And my ski boots. And then you have to stash your running shoes. You
right.
know?
Yep.
Yeah. It's dumb. I'm just driving, you know?
Yeah.
I would say just, managing all of the stuff you need for
for
skiing is, that's a knock against it for me, too. Mm-hmm. I can just, it's a lot easier.
Just year round.
You still have stuff for winter running. You know, you still got to, you can't just, run out in your underwear or just a pair of shorts. Shoes. But it's just not the same amount of stuff, the wax and all the other things.
You need all that stuff for skiing, anyways, you know? So,
Like
fat bike.
The clothing. The gear is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It goes for running, year round, too. It's just the simplicity is so, I think, awesome.
Yeah.
Just right out the door.
Yep, wherever.
Yeah, wherever. Yeah, exactly.
So where are some of your favorite places to run in town then?
All over.
Really?
Boy, can I pick a favorite? I don't know. I like all of them. I mean, I live close to Lester, so that's probably where I go more often than any others. But, I think it's just really fun to figure out, interesting loops to take with all of our different trail systems and,
connecting park to park kind of thing.
One place to another and figure out different ways to make loops around things and put things together. So
I'm sure over the years you've been able to discover kind of we've all seen is kind of some of those neighborhood trails that people just create and then, then you come out and now I'm on this road and then I know how to get to, I love that. That's kind of fun.
I do too. Yeah. Like Downers Park has a lot of
That's exactly what I was kind of thinking. Yeah. Yep. There's
one or two key backyards.
Great places in there. Yeah. Hey Steve, sorry. Whatever.
Yeah. Well, there are some of those you're running along, you realize you're in somebody's yard. Right. Like, oop, okay. Right. Yeah, not this way.
You're on the back deck having hot dogs or something.
That's funny. Do you have any good loops that you've done in the past or like one of your favorites if you're trying to get a long run or a certain mileage or something? Or
I usually head west when I'm going for like really long days. Mm-hmm. And, and then it's thinking about, okay, where can I get water? You know, actually, I made a Google map of locations where I can find water along the trails.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, like the, you know, like the zoo at Fairmont Park, you can get water in the bathrooms. Or there's that spigot up at the Spirit Mountain Campground. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get out to Jay Cook, you can get water there. The so, you know, it's, part of it's like figuring out, depending on how long I'm going, you know, I've never tried to stash water. I know folks do, but it's like, oh, I got to drive there and it sounds like a pain in the butt. So I haven't done that. So I was like, okay, how can I figure out how to do this and get water at different places?
That's a good idea.
So you carry just like a small handheld or?
Yeah, I got a little backpack with a liter and a half.
Kind of your goes in it. And preferred water method is the bladder.
I like the handheld. I do like poles. I don't run all the time with them, but I do like them. So, you know, I'll run fairly frequently just so that when I do use them, my arms aren't dead.
You know,
try to keep that muscle memory up. But I've found them, really helpful for me. So
And that way you can't have the handheld.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got the ones, the soft ones that kind of fit in the pockets, but even with the poles, you know, you're like taking off the pole, putting the thing down, taking it out.
Right.
It's kind of a pain. So,
yeah.
The bladder's nice for that.
Yeah. Easy to fill up and everything, too. I don't have a Google map, but I kind of have this, like,
just in your head.
In my head, but it's for public bathrooms access, which is key for a long run sometimes.
That's another good one, too.
I might make a Google map for that, because
that'd be good.
Sometimes that's what you need, is to know, just like it's a half mile away or something to avoid a catastrophe.
And you got to hope they're open.
That could be the real catastrophe, is a locked door.
yep.
Well, speaking of area trails, and I know you definitely wanted to talk to you, Jesse, about the Duluth Foot Trails Alliance, which is a new nonprofit organization here in Duluth. Is that right?
It is. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about what that organization is, how it started, and kind of what you hope for it in the future?
Yeah, you bet. I'm super excited about it. Actually, the idea kind of got really generated at one of those winter trail races between Lisa Burns and myself. We were talking about trails and different things going on, and you know, it just kind of really hit us. It's like, you know, we have these great trail groups in Duluth that are focused on bikers and cross-country skiers and horseback riders and snowmobilers. And there's no group that's focused on foot trail users. I mean, there's a Superior Hiking Trail Association, but they're way more than Duluth, and they have their trail, and that's just one of the trails that go through Duluth. And we also know that most of the folks that use our trails are on foot. 80%. I think the Duluth just had a survey for their parks planning that said 80% of the trail use is on foot.
Of all trails, period.
All trails all around the city. Of the folks that did their survey, you know. So, you know, most of the folks are on foot, on trails. Not a surprise, you know, because it's the easiest way to get there.
We're just talking about that.
We all have feet.
I mean, what's the percentage of horse trail users there on foot? I mean,
pretty small.
I mean, I've run on horse trails.
Me too. Yeah.
Runners are, foot traffic might comprise more than horses, you know? I mean,
Sure. Especially in town, especially in the.
So it was a big realization. It's like there's no group to represent all of the folks that are using the trail on foot. There's no group that can kind of advocate for foot trail users. And, you know, because we use trails a little bit differently than bikers and other users do. And there's things that work well for foot traffic that, you know, maybe don't work as well for other things. And, you know, just, you know, whatever the case may be, you know, it's a little bit different when you're on foot than on a bike. And so there's nobody that can advocate for that. You know, and we even heard from the city that when they're doing planning, you know, they can go to COGS and find out information about what bikers want. And they can go to horse trail users. They can go to all these different groups. There's no group that they can go to for foot trail users to get that kind of input and feedback. And we also saw that these other groups were doing great things for their trails and their trail users.
Fundraising and...
And building new trails and doing stuff. I mean, maintenance and all that. It's like, we should have that for foot users as well. So that was really the impetus, and we actually started meeting right as the pandemic began. It was probably good timing, because we all had lots of time on our hand, and there was a group of four or five of us that met every week for like over a year.
Wow.
On Zoom.
Yeah.
Just talking about this. And, you know, and we met with, we brought a bunch of other folks in, you know, because we had lots of conversations and, you know, lots of good ideas. And, you know, we were all trail users. So, you know, we all have our own kind of insights that we were bringing. But we also wanted to hear from other folks. So we brought in other groups of folks to talk with. So we got, you know, we invited folks that walk their dogs on the trails because, you know, it's a big thing that lots of people do and really like it. And we also know there's a lot of conflicts and issues.
Right.
So we wanted to hear from dog walkers and, you know, and the things that they're seeing on the trails and how it affects them. We met with folks that have like mobility challenges or people that work with people with mobility challenges because they like our trails too. And, you know, and what are their issues that they're seeing that a group like this might be able to help with?
Huh.
We met with folks that organize events like Mike.
Yeah.
And just talked about, you know, how events use the trails and, you know, the value that those events bring to getting people on our trails and helping people discover new areas and new trails and, you know, bringing people to town to, you know, discover the wonder that is Duluth.
Right.
And, you know, and some other groups as well like that. So we really tried to learn about, you know, how other folks were seeing the issues around our trails and how we could be helpful, you know, for those kinds of things. So, you know, one thing led to another, and I think just last fall, I think we officially signed the paperwork to become a formal nonprofit.
Okay.
And we're just working through all the slow stuff of, like, you know, getting a employee identification number so you can open a bank account, so you can have membership, so you can do this and that.
Right.
And we just had our first formal meeting last week at Ursa Minor, and we had a good turnout of folks to show up and kind of shared what we're working on, and had some time to hear from them about what their interests are and what they, you know, what their priorities are and what they'd like us to be working on.
Yeah.
And we also brought in folks from other trail groups too to talk about their volunteer opportunities.
Awesome.
Spear Hiking Trail Association and COGS and Duluth Cross Country Ski Club and the City of Duluth all have great opportunities for folks to get involved and help our trails. And you know, we're not going to recreate those wheels. We'd like to connect people to those opportunities.
Absolutely.
That are out there.
Right.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we're a new nonprofit. We're just formed.
Yeah.
And we got kind of three big kind of mission elements that we're working on. The advocacy piece, kind of like I talked about, so we can be that group that can interface with, you know, the planning efforts that are going on and can work with the other trail groups as well.
Right.
You know,
we know
sometimes conflicts come up and, you know, one group wants one thing and another group wants another.
Big time.
You know, we want to be able to try to mediate those and make a good outcome for everybody.
Right. Right.
So that's another, I think, a piece of that advocacy is working with those other groups.
Big time.
And figuring out ways that we can work together on things too, because
most
of the stuff we're pulling the same direction on our trails,
same track to land.
Yeah,
like literally sometimes, right?
Yep. I mean,
yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And action is another piece. So, you know, we want to be able to connect people with volunteer opportunities. Hmm. And, you know, we know there's a lot of foot trails that aren't a bike trail, that aren't the spear hiking trail, that nobody's taken care of, that nobody's responsible for. And so we see an opportunity to, you know, to organize, you know, volunteer efforts and to try to take on those trails that are a little bit forgotten.
And would that be, even if it's a city jurisdiction trail, that would be something that the DUFTA could manage on their own?
I mean, many of the trails are going to be on city property.
And
we've had some conversations with the folks at the city, and those will go on to figure out all the T's we got to cross and I's we got to dot to do that kind of thing. But yeah, that's part of what we'd like to do.
Perfect.
Is take on some of that work. Yeah.
That would take some of the load off the city then too, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, just less, because they don't have the manpower to handle all the trails.
Oh, exactly. So, and there's a lot. And we've been talking with other groups as well, like Hawks Ridge and all of their hiking trails.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. You know, you know, they could use a little work.
Right, for sure.
Pretty much all the trails could use a little work somewhere. But, you know, so things like that that we can,
try to
help with.
Yeah, I think a much needed group here in Duluth, so I'm excited to see how this grows.
Yeah. And the third part is education and outreach that we want to be a part of as well, you know.
Yeah.
Trail etiquette and, you know, making sure that folks are using the trails well, and that's, I think, a big piece where we need to make sure we're on the same page as all the other trail groups.
Correct.
You know, we don't want foot traffic messing up the ski trails. But we also got to recognize that foot traffic can be really good at packing down our trails in the winter and making a nice solid base for the bikers too. You know, I think we've got some, we want to work together and to have the same message that we're sharing with everybody. And we think we can get more people on our trails too. You know, I think there's a lot of folks in Duluth and we talked with some of them at our meeting that are just not sure where to go, not sure how to get involved, not sure where these trails are taking them. You know, they don't want to get lost and you know, and I
get that they even exist probably.
And some that they don't even know exist.
I mean, myself as a UMD student, I had no idea any of these trails even existed, you know. Who would have, I didn't even think about it, you know. And then I kind of scratched the surface a little bit and it's like a whole new world, you know. So I think without you know, having someone to kind of hold your hand, hey, check this out type thing, you know, I think that's huge.
And that's where these races are so great too. I you know, the long ones, they give, they bring you through this whole huge corridor and you realize all of this is full of trails and you see trails branching off of this and you're like, where do these go? I gotta come back, you know. You know, on like the NMTC races, they take these, you know, obscure loops in weird places. I mean, the one just last week over in Superior, never been on those trails. They were lovely.
Amazing. Really nice trail. That was a good time.
Cool. I'm curious, Jesse, what the kind of the, I guess, setup is, for lack of a better term. I don't know what the word I'm looking for, but how are you personally involved in it? What's going to be the setup? I mean, do you foresee staff or is this a board of directors? I know it's a nonprofit, but I'm just kind of curious how that looks and your personal involvement.
You bet. We have a board. It was actually voted on by the members at our meeting last week.
Yeah.
It's kind of an odd thing, but it's in our bylaws. That's how we're going to do it. So I'm the chair currently. Lisa Burns is co-chair. We have a secretary and a treasurer as well, and then four other board members.
Awesome.
We can have more board members, actually. So if there are folks that are listening that are super excited and you want to get involved in this, let us know. It'd be great to have more folks engaged with this.
Yeah.
We have another committee that we still need to set up, and it's a really important piece for us, and it's kind of focused on that diversity and equity and inclusion thing. We really want to see a more diverse trail community in Duluth, and that's one of our big goals. You know, we see a lot of folks that look like us on the trails, and that doesn't necessarily represent Duluth terribly well. So we want to really get more folks out on the trail. And we think that, you know, the more folks from Duluth that use our trails, the better off we're all going to be, because everybody's going to have a stronger stake in making sure that they're well-maintained and we have a good system. So we don't want to have groups that don't feel like they belong on our trails. So that's a piece that we want to work on. And we have a called out in our bylaws, actually, a separate committee focused just on that. And so that's a committee that we have to set up yet.
Yeah.
You know, again, if folks are interested in being involved in that and helping with that, we'd love to have you involved.
Right.
Other than that, you know, right now we have a Facebook page and a Facebook group. We don't even have a web page yet. I mean, we're so not off the ground with this. We have so much work to do. But there is a Facebook page, and you can get connected there. And you know, we're, you know, when we get things organized to have volunteer events and other things, you know, we'll be sending stuff out through that to get folks on. You know, as folks join, you know, we'll have an email list that folks can sign up for and get notices as well. And you know, we'll get a website too once we get things figured out.
Yeah, you've mentioned membership. How do you foresee that, I guess, growing and operating into the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we're so new, we don't have any real plans. I mean, we've made membership $10. It's not much. It's just enough to get us going and try to get some of these things happening, you know, to be able to get a website and you know, do those kinds of things that are really pretty basic. You know, we don't anticipate that this is going to be any kind of high membership kind of a thing, but we think we have a really large pool of potential members.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and we could, you know, I think funnel that into, you know, having organized events to get more folks out on the trails. We could funnel that into making sure we're doing the maintenance kinds of activities. you know, and we'll see what else comes as things evolve and grow.
I think the education aspect too, I mean, super crucial. One of the top three, like you said, I mean, I guess points of the whole organization. And I mean, I think that takes a lot of money too, right?
It's true.
To get the word out and to publish materials. Or I just love seeing it. I think the city of Duluth must put these on just kind of the yard sign, like regarding dog poop, you know, for one.
Poop fairy.
Yeah. And I mean, they're helpful. I think they're really useful to just like, oh yeah, you know, make sure I have a bag and that sort of thing. And
yep.
So, but yeah, those aren't free. You know, someone's got to put them out there,
right?
Them
up, pay know. For them to produce
exactly.
them. So
exactly. So I think we can help with that. And
you
know, it'd be really fun to have all of our trail groups in Duluth, like going in and working together on a trail education campaign. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I think we could reach a lot of people.
Yeah.
And you know, have a coordinated message that we're all behind.
Right.
I think that would be really nice.
Right. Yeah.
For all the different aspects of it, you know, it's, you know, picking up after your dogs and, you know, what do you do with muddy trails and,
courtesy,
you know,
etiquette.
Snow and all the
courtesy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Super cool. So I'm curious. I mean, you've been obviously your board chair, very deeply involved in the Duluth. Can you say the name one more time? Just so it's Duluth Trail.
Duluth Foot Trails Alliance.
Duluth Foot Trails Alliance.
Yep. Mm-hmm. DUFTA. For sure.
Duluth Foot Trails Alliance.
Rhymes with UFTA.
UFTA. What have you seen as kind of the greatest issues, you know, or the greatest opportunity to getting, you know, every Duluthian out there? What's just the general feedback? I mean, after now years of kind of research, right?
Yeah. We don't have the silver bullet because, you know, I am not in the population that has concerns about going out on the trails. I don't have that lived experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's where we don't feel comfortable knowing what the answer is to get more people out on our trails.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where we really need to get engaged with those communities more directly.
Yeah.
You know, we've tried a little bit, you know, we haven't been successful yet, and we gotta meet them, I think, more where they are. You know, this is not the kind of thing that we need to lay at their feet and have them do for us, right? But you know, we also need to make sure that what we are doing is actually helping. You know, we don't want to cause bigger problems,
right?
Either.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have the answer for that yet.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, as far as like the trails overall and the issues that we're seeing, I don't know. I don't know if there's just one that I'd point to.
I'm sure there's been a common theme that you, for maybe a variety of issues, but, you know.
Yeah, I think the one that we hear most commonly from folks that they're pretty excited about is having kind of, you know, a little bit more of a voice at the table in trail discussions in issues, just kind of writ large, you know, and I think that's important in a lot of ways. I mean, another thing that we've heard a lot of is, you know, looking at making sure that our trails are connected to the community better. You know, we have great trail corridors, but they aren't always necessarily connected to the people that live in those areas. You know, you have to go several blocks around to get to a trailhead, even though the trail is across the road and through somebody's private property, but you don't have access to it.
Right.
You know, we have places that are like that, where there's trails really close, but you can't get to it.
Is there a quick example you can think of that you can mention? I'm just curious. It's just an issue that I hadn't heard of, but it seems to make sense.
Yeah. I think a little bit of that is in Hartley, in certain places where it's just a big long row of private property, you know, along the trail, and you got to go a long way out of your way to get to the trailhead to make it onto the trails themselves.
Okay.
You know, there are informal connections that run in some of those areas.
Right.
And even some people's private property where they don't mind, you know, people going through there, but you know, boy, that's a tentative kind of a thing to rely on their goodwill to have access to the trails.
Yeah.
You know, So that's one example that I know of. Mm-hmm. But I think we just have other areas where, you know, there is a trail there, but it's just through the woods.
Right.
There's no, you know, there could be access, and maybe there's even public property that the access could be through. It's just there's no way to get to it.
Gotcha.
You know, you know, you think about some of the long stretches along Skyline, perhaps, where you can get to the trail.
That's true.
At one end or the other.
Right. Scramble up the hill or something.
Or bushwhack. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've done that because I know the trail's there a time or two, but not really, you know.
Think about that NMTC race that used to start up that rock face. I forget the name of that. They don't do that race anymore in Piedmont. And it started literally on Skyline. We would scramble up the rock face first to get to the trails, and then we would come down the rock face to finish. It was crazy. I remember that one. Yeah. Oh,
is that, they put a bike trail in on a rock face.
It might be.
It's like, I don't know, Belly of the Beast or something. It's like almost falling down a cliff. I've never biked it. But I've run it before. It's like leaping down cliffs after cliff to get to the bottom.
So little things like that, for sure. I could see where things you'd want to improve those for access.
Make more access, improve them, formalize some of those trails so that people know that they're going to have access into the future. Mm-hmm. And think about our trail system more as a transportation corridor as well. It's a way for people to get around the city. Mm-hmm. You know, some people use it that way now already.
Right.
You know, we've talked to folks that, you know, take the bike trails, you know, take the hiking trails.
Yep.
You know, it'd be nice to have, you know, the wayfinding, I think, is another piece. We heard that from folks that are, that don't know where they are, that don't know where the trail is going to take them. That, you know, come out and they're like, I have no idea where they are.
Yeah.
You know, Google Maps helps with that nowadays, but, you know, still, it's not quite the same. And, you know, I think there's places where we could connect people better into the services that are there. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know that, you know, two blocks this way, you can get a beer. I mean,
yeah,
it'd be a good thing to know for some folks.
Right.
Works well for snowmobile trails, right? I mean,
they do that a little bit more, I think, where they have the businesses that are nearby that folks can get to.
And have a sign.
And I think we could do a little bit of that with our trails, too, and help integrate those trails into the community a little bit better and make them part of the transportation system rather than some kind of, you know, amenity only, I guess. Yeah. You know?
Sure.
It's cool to see that in Lincoln Park, you know, and that's from both ends, right? I mean, the trails are, I think, developing more in that area of town, but also
the craft connectors,
specifically
made to connect down to the businesses for the bike trail.
Exactly.
It's a great example. Yep.
So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's an area in Duluth, I mean, especially it's such a long, skinny city, that I think maybe needs the more development of trails?
Oh, absolutely. The Central Hillside, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, huge population of folks, and just really not much access to trails. I mean, if you can get to Chester, you've got trails there.
Yeah.
And then where's your next set of trails?
Yeah.
Going west. Anger? Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, right.
Anger. There's just really not much in there. It's a tough area to, you know, we don't have much green space in there either.
Sure.
But I think that's a place that we really need to figure out some ways to make some connections in there. You know, we used to have some interesting things way back in the past. You know, if you've ever read about Cascade Park.
Oh, yeah.
It looks just beautiful from what I've seen of the old photos there. Uh-huh. And it's, you know, now the river is, or the stream is in a tunnel underneath, and it's just this little kind of grassy swing set spot. I know it. We've lost some opportunities, I think, too, but
for sure
I think we could figure out some ways to make some connections into that community more.
Yeah, definitely. Well, what other plans do you have for this year when it comes to races or events or...
I you know, I only have two plans right now. I'm signed up for Kurnow. And actually, my son signed up to do it with me, so that'll be his first marathon. So I'm excited about that.
Are you guys going to stay together?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Cool. You know, we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the plan.
Cool.
I'm going to do Wild Duluth again. I'm sure of that. Mm-hmm. Just because I like it. One of these years, I got to do the 100K and get that nice sweatshirt.
That's great.
Yeah, we'll see if this is the year or not. That's all I have planned right now. Yeah, try to hit as many of the Wednesday night races as I can. And
yeah,
yeah, we've got kind of a busy summer lined up with some folks visiting and trying to head out west to visit my daughter in Bozeman and yeah, some other things. Sure. So
yeah,
yeah,
cool.
Any other questions at all?
No, but one more thing, real quick. Jesse, mention to the listeners again the Facebook page for Dufta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duluth Foot Trails Alliance is the name of the Facebook page.
Facebook.com/Dufta, DUFTA.
Yeah.
Or you can search Duluth Foot Trails
Alliance. Who came up with the name? I really like the name.
Boy, it was a big effort, actually. Yeah. I was gunning for, and they're probably going to kill me for saying this, but I was gunning to name our group the... Oh no, I'm going to forget it.
Dang it.
It was going along the kind of, you know, the SHT.
Uh-huh.
You know, it looks kind of close to one particular word. Dang it. No, I've lost the name. It was such a good one. And I think it was going to be super memorable. They're probably going to appreciate that I've forgotten it. Anyways, it sounded not terribly pleasant, but it was kind of memorable. Yeah, I don't know. We went round and round on different elements of the name. We wanted the foot trails right. Was kind of the key piece that we wanted in there. So yeah.
Foot and trails, very good.
I guess. Oh, the last thing I was gonna ask Jesse if any of our listeners they like what they hear about the Duluth Foot Trails Alliance. I mean, how can they get involved? You kind of touched on a few pieces, but yeah, how can people get involved? What do you need? Do you think from kind of manpower? I guess. And
yeah, right now, I mean, you know, again, if folks are interested in participating on the board or working with us on our Diversity, Equity, Inclusion Committee. Those would be great things that we could do right now. You can get a hold of us on the Facebook site or duluthfoottrails@gmail.com if you want to send us an email. And, you know, and again, if, you know, once we get things lined up to have some events outside and get folks out working on trails and fixing some things up, mm-hmm. And other things, you know, that'll happen through those venues as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's awesome. That's all we got right now. We wish we were further along with this and had more set up, but got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah,
start
somewhere. This is fine. This is fine. Awesome. It's exciting.
Super exciting.
All right. Well, thanks so much for joining us, Jesse. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
great to be here.
All right, and that does it for episode 49 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. A big shout out to Jesse Schoenberg for popping by, giving us a rundown of his running experience, his running history, and also the Duluth Foot Trails Alliance. Super cool nonprofit. This last month with episode 49, that marks 3 years doing the podcast. So huge shout out to all our listeners of this episode. Thanks to Austin Jaro, who's the sponsor of this week's episode. On behalf of Tony and Mike here, we'll see you next time.